another episode of Varsity Hanger Time. I'm TJ, and we have Mike and Wade as usual tonight. We've got some things to talk about, a good review from Mike, and our topic of the week we're going to discuss is how has FPV affected and changed your hobby? So, some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to this week, Wade?
I actually have been in Seattle. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all you're going to say? Seattle?
Yeah.
Were you the one to put that old World War II mine out there?
No.
Yeah, I saw that. No. They found that this weekend.
That was wild.
I didn't see anything about it. I was pretty busy, actually, so I didn't get a chance to do much of anything.
Yeah, evidently an old World War II era ship mine floated into the harbor of the Puget Sound.
Well, I was right on the Puget Sound, so maybe that's why all those cops and stuff were there.
Yeah, more than likely.
Probably it. So yeah, you didn't take the Maverick or anything?
Yeah, I did, but due to the wildfires and stuff, like in California and all up the West Coast, it was just... I mean, we couldn't even see Mount Rainier for most of the time, so we just kind of hung out, did other things.
Right. That's too bad. Did it rain a lot?
No, it didn't rain hardly at all, believe it or not. It was actually really sunny a couple days, minus like the haze. But yeah, it was decent weather.
Nice. Sounds good. What about you, TJ?
Well, I've been building. Helped my son build his first quad. It was it's a 5-inch frame. Who is it? Diatone GT5 200. And he did a lot of work on it. I did all the soldering. He wasn't quite ready for that yet. But he helped do a big part of building it. Of course, once we got it done, I put a 4S on it, thinking that was probably going to be fine. And he wanted to make the maiden flight, and he just touched the throttle, and that thing shot straight up in the sky. He just killed the throttle switch, and it came crashing down. It's in one piece. It's still good, but it flies like a dream. So I think we'll get him flying with the 3-cell first. Get him used a little slower.
You put him on 4S for his first flight?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm
surprised you didn't just go straight to 6S.
Well, hey, I got a 6S I can put on it. But it was the only battery at the moment I had charged was a 4S, because 3S I had on my goggles. So, yeah, his first 10-second flight was on a 4S.
Nice. That's good that he's getting into it.
Yep. But so what else do? Oh, big shout out to Josh Law with Activate FPV. Sorry, my mind went blank there for a second. But he's got a new company and a site, ActivateFPV.com. And it's got some beautiful frames on there. And I actually just purchased yesterday the Lucky 5-inch. So I can't wait to get that. I should have that Tuesday. So another build yet to go.
So you said Activate FPV.
Activate FPV.
All right, I'll have a look at it.
Yep, he's still. It's a work. He says his website's a work in progress, but it looks pretty good to me. But you can see what frames he has, and he's got a new one. I know Mike said you were looking at the Stella.
Yeah, I'm digging that Stella.
Yeah, it's a sweet looking frame. But the Lucky is available, so I got that. So I can't wait to get that. So shout out to you, Josh. You got some good stuff, man. I can't wait to see how it flies. We'll get put together, and I'll let you know.
Nice. Yeah, and then we got to get you some electronics for it next, huh?
Yeah, I need some electronics. I've got some Hypertrain 2306s to throw on it, but I don't have anything else yet. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I'm really digging that Invoker V2, the 5-inch. It looks really cool.
Yeah, that does. I like that.
It's kind of reminiscent of like a Chameleon / Remix, but it's not a blatant ripoff, which is nice. You can tell there was thought put into it.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, it's nice and low profile too.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, you'll have to get one of those. It does look nice. And I like you got color choices too. You get black, red, blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all the pieces. So looks like you put some good work into these frames. So yeah. Well, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you'll have to share pictures.
Yeah, I will post, especially once I get it, and show everybody what that frame looks like. So if you guys look... I've got the Lucky 5.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and work on getting the Invoker V2, the 5-inch.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Then I should get the Stella.
Yeah, when it's available, go for the Stella.
Yeah.
So cool. What else have I done this week? Attempted flying my helicopter, my little 130S, some more this week. But I've got a new cast I've had on that's been placed since last time I was on here. And it's a little harder to fly with. So doing mid-hover, thought I'd get to move it around a little bit. And took a pretty hard hit to the deck. So no major damage, but just some things popped off on the inside. So I got to put it all back together. Nice. Other than that's it.
Sounds so not like you've much.
Been busy. We both have different perspectives.
No, I was being facetious as usual.
I get it.
No, but it's been a good couple of weeks. Nice. What about you, Mike? What's been going on?
I've gone out flying a couple times. Got in my new goggles and been putting them to use. And went flying 2 weekends ago to. Well, no, I guess it was last weekend. I went to the park and went into some sunset flying. Got in that golden hour time, you know. Got some good footage from that and posted a video later that week. And then last night went to a night fun fly. So here in Arizona, they've got a lot of night tracks because it's so hot, everybody flies at night. And I went to that last night, and that's it was pretty intense. It was a lot tighter and technical than I thought, and flying at night really messes with your brain.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet. I don't think I'll be doing it anytime soon.
Yeah, it's hard to judge distance and everything, and branches. You don't see anything, only the lit up gates. But it's still a lot of fun.
I have a hard enough time during the daylight. I can only imagine what it'd be like at night.
It's still a lot of fun, but it's definitely nerve-wracking because those are metal poles and they break a lot of quads. So I was just taking it really easy last night. I didn't want to break anything.
Yeah, I don't blame you, especially being the first time at night.
Right. I started getting a little bit more comfortable near the end of the night and started hitting more gates and stuff, but I didn't want to risk breaking anything. Not right now. Try to get some more flights in this weekend, you know, since it's a holiday weekend.
Oh, heck yeah.
But other than that, that's been it for me.
Cool. So we're going to talk about, what was that tonight? We're going to talk about our viewpoints on whether or not FPV has changed the hobby, and if so, or whatever, how.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool.
I just thought it would be an interesting topic because the hobby has changed. FPV has come along a long way. I know, Mike, you first got me started in it back. It's been 4 years now. It's kind of hard to imagine how much it's changed. But you know, I used to fly only airplanes and some helis, and you were a heli guy. And I know that's changed for a lot of people because you get into FPV, it's a completely new and different thing, but it's fun. And the builds are easy, and it's fairly easy to fly these things, or at least get them off the ground. It's not always that easy, but it was a whole new aspect of the hobby, and it really brought a lot of people, new people to RC, into FPV, and drew a lot of people from the planes and their helis. A lot of people hung it up, because I know like you stopped flying helis for a while. And
right.
I haven't really flown a lot of my planes for a while either, and so I was curious to how... I mean, from my perspective of how, or other people actually, if anybody's else watching, you know, ask a question or any comments is more than welcome so we can further discussion. But so earlier in the week, I went and talked to a local hobby shop down the road, Hobby Town, here in Buford, Georgia. Some great guys there, Bo and Ken. I know Hobby Town, but actually this Hobby Town is actually pretty cool, and I've seen some pretty bad Hobby Towns. They didn't have much of anything.
Right,
but this one they just relocated. They used to be in Duluth, and earlier this year they moved to Buford. Much nicer store. They got a huge selection. Their airplane and helicopter volume is doubled from what it used to be. Because we're talking with Ken and talking with Bo, that FPV, you know, as it come along, it was the new thing. It was the shiny new toy. It really pulled a lot of people into it, and it started hurting other parts of the hobby. Per se. I mean, people quit flying planes. People quit buying helis. Not everyone. There's always, you know, people that truly will always like their planes and that's it and whatnot. But it did draw a lot of people away from it. But in the last few months or in the last year, has changing back. And some of it's from, like myself, you know, man, it's been a long time since I flew a heli. I need to go get me a new one. And so, you know, I've been flying it some. And people do the same thing with the planes. They, you know, they fly a PV for a while. They're having a blast with it. And it's not that they're getting away from it, but they're like rediscover their hobby again with their older stuff, with their other planes and their helis. And new people that are getting into FPV are starting to discover that, you know, they're easy to fly planes, these foam built stuff, the stuff that comes from flight test. I think flight test, they've done a great job pushing, keeping people with planes and the other aspects of the hobby as well. And one interesting thing Ken was telling me about with the FPV that they're starting to see it now is with RC vehicles. People throwing their cameras on their cars and racing with those, racing that way. I know, Mike, we don't know if you've ever gotten RC cars, but I know Mike and I have. I've got several buggies now and some trucks, and Son and I got to try and stomp around on some of the local tracks around here. But I never imagined putting an FPV camera on it. That's got to be an interesting way to drive one of those things.
Yeah, yeah, the only thing I've really gotten involved with was, with cars-wise, was I had a Traxxas T-Max 3.3 that was donated to me by the late Ken Saloy.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And so I used that one until it blew up. And it just, to me, because I was into airplanes and stuff, it was hard to get into.
Right.
Wasn't as three-dimensional, I guess, as you will, if you will.
Right.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Right. And I don't know if you know, but while I was in Utah, rock crawling was a big thing. So RC rock crawling, they changed and they went to like more of the trophy trucks and the Ultra 4 racing, so the more scale stuff. And I had an Ultra 4 where I actually did put FPV on it, and I was driving and rock crawling through FPV.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's
Japan really and tilt cool. and stuff.
Like no,
you could lean out your window and look solid at your tire positioning.
I wish, but no, it was just solid mounted because, you know, in the like the Yetis where they have the guys. We would just drill out the holes of the into their head and put the camera there.
Yeah, right. I know FPV's really, really, I think, in my mind, enhanced it. Because a lot of people, typically people reject new things.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's the majority that rejects new ideas because they're comfortable with the old. And then you get the few kind of trailblazers that love to just kind of break the mold and push through. And I know that FPV, I think, with a certain few people that are still in the hobby, and whether they have good names or not, they're the reasons that FPV are so popular.
Oh, you know,
like, one of the things I was actually thinking of the other day is I kept seeing a video pop up in my feed about the RC rally driving. Have you seen that?
No.
I'm not.
Where they do, like, rally driving circuits with RC cars. And the dude has to, like, run with it the entire time. And I'm thinking, that's too much work.
Yeah, that's you know, what, like, that's basically what Ultra 4 is,
yeah,
you know, you're running with it. It's just like if you ever watch the real stuff, like the Wii Rock type events.
Yeah, and so, like, if you could add FPV to that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Do you know how cool that would be to do, like, full FPV rally? Like, oh, it would be amazing.
Right.
Yeah, that's too much exercise for me. I like FPV because I can just sit in a chair and fly.
Yeah, dude, anything I can sit down, I'm good, man.
You still sit down to fly FPV?
I have to. I fall over. I'm not going to lie.
I noticed that changing from sitting to standing, it was more like flying a heli, and the radio felt more comfortable for me, and I think that's what's helped smooth out some of my flights and help me progress in my flights too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's my kind of take on FPV. Is like, I think it went through kind of a period where it was, are we gonna like this new thing? Yeah. And yeah. I mean, even still, I still get ridiculed going to my AMA field, you know, to fly my quad to, like, because sometimes I'll just go there to tune. To where I don't got to worry about crashing into anything. And
right. These
guys just, a lot of them just don't like quadcopters and FPV and, you know, and the, but other guys are like, yeah, this is great. We should put it in our scale cub so that we can, You know, and I'm like, that would be so cool, you know?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I've got a couple of planes that I have in mind to throw in a camera in just to try it. Because, you know, that would be, I mean, I know people, they've been doing it on wings now and some other planes that you see, like, what is it, the Goblin or the Gremlin or whatever it's called from Ready Made. Planes like that, I mean, that would be really cool. But some of these just regular planes, you definitely see some people putting them in Warbirds. And it's just such a neat view and a different way of flying FPV. So, I mean, like you were saying, I think FPV and quads has bolstered our hobby more than anything.
Yeah.
It's brought a lot more people into it, so.
All right. Yeah. And it is one of the fastest growing hobby out there right now.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And to like what you were talking, Wade, about, you know, you get some fields you go to, and there's some old timers or some guys there that just like they look at you weird and don't like you bringing your quads there and flying. It was the same way with a lot of fields I remember years ago with helicopters, especially when with electric coming around and helicopters being easier to fly and use. You know, a lot of fields is like if you're gonna fly your heli, you got to fly all the way down there at the end of the runway and back behind the outhouse and keep your chopper over there. But and then they'd look at FPV the same way.
Yeah, there was always that like one little corner that you chopper pilots could fly in.
Yep. Yeah, I know. And you couldn't do anything except for pretty much just hover because the area you were allowed to fly was so small.
And it is still like that at a lot of fields too. I mean, yeah. Luckily we had our own heliport, so it was right next to the runway, and it was at the same field. So you know, if you wanted to fly planes and helis, you could do it at the same place. But they had actual helipads off to the side.
Yeah.
Away from the flight line and everything. It's, yeah.
Well, I think the other thing FPV has done is it's made it easier for us to fly just about anywhere we want to go or can go legally now. Because with most planes, you have to have a field or at least a big ballpark is for the park flyers. It's hard, you know, people can't fly those in around your neighborhood. Too many trees or too many houses, but with quads, man, you can fly them inside your house. You can fly them in your backyard and around the house. It's so much easier, and it's something you don't have to drive 45 minutes to the nearest airfield, to fly your planes or helis and stuff. So I think that's what's drawn a lot of people to it as well.
Yeah, I know that's what drew me to it is that because I'm going to be traveling a lot soon. You know, like I'll be overseas next month, and I just don't have room in my backpack for. You know, my float planes.
Right?
You can't fit a 72-inch plane on your backpack? What's wrong?
I could, but the TSA is not going to like it.
You shouldn't have glued the wings together, man.
I know. But that's why I like it. You know, I can fit goggles. Yeah. And, you know, especially with the newer stuff, how small it is, I can fit the goggles, the X-Light, the couple quads, couple batteries, and some spare parts in a bag and just go.
Yep.
You know, and... It's just so much easier, but I still miss my planes. I just don't have room for them.
Right. I'll have to take a picture of the eating area of my kitchen because it's a table and then all of my FPV gear and all my tool boxes. There's no room for anything else. It takes over.
It does. I mean, I think we're all starting to get the gear acquisition syndrome that Wade was talking about last time.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Yeah, dude. I don't even need stuff. And it's like, here's somebody's a full box. Yeah.
Somebody's got a sale on something or ESC's on sale, whatever it is.
It is just Labor Day weekend. There's lots of sales on right now.
Oh, there is. There's been some good sales out there. But I'm biting my tongue and keeping my credit card in my wallet as best as I can.
Oh, you have to pull your credit card out? No. Tell you what, man.
What's that?
They have pre-printed labels for me at Get FPV.
Have you gotten any more fortune cookies?
No, I actually, damn it. I just got a package with some antennas and a couple batteries from Get FPV because I'm trying some new different types of batteries or whatever. I just wanted to see if I can see a real difference or whatever. And I didn't get any fortune cookies.
Well, so I'm
going to be... emailing their customer support.
Yeah, where's my cookies?
But, yeah.
That sucks.
Heck yeah, it does. No cookies.
No cookies for you.
No FPV cookies.
Right. You have bad fortune now.
Like you, though, I'm missing my planes as well. I mean, I've got them. All the planes I have are in different various stages of repair, so I only have like one or two I can fly right now anyways. But I'm looking at, you know, there's a great one from Horizon. Their little micro timber.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I want to get one. Hobby Town's got one in stock, and it'd be perfect to fly on my cul-de-sac because it's open and large enough. And the guy was telling me that thing, you could just 5-6 mile an hour breeze, and the thing will just sit there and hover. An easy plane to fly, bounce it off the tires.
The floats are even better, man.
That's what he was telling me about, because there's a place about 20 minutes south of where he's, I think he said he lives in Logansville, which is just south of here, but there's a place where they go, it's got a big pond, and he put floats on it. He's got the big timber, and he's got the ultra micro timber, and he just absolutely loves it. So, getting back to planes, that's probably what I'm going to go get next. I got a birthday coming up this next week, so happy birthday to myself.
Yeah. Did you see E-Flight's new...
Oh, dude. The EDF? Convergence. Oh, yes. The new Viper. That thing looks sweet. And for being a Horizon with everything that's in it, it's a great price. Because I think one thing with Horizon, most of their planes, they usually always seem to be a little more than everybody else's, cost-wise. But you get more out of the company. They got great customer service. They've got excellent products. If there's ever a problem, you go to them. 9 out of 10 times, they will set things straight. They have with me in the past. I know with you guys. And others, but for that price point, for that 70 millimeters, got flaps, it's got landing, you know, retractable gear. I think it looks sweet, so I can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm falling in love with it.
Oh no, it's a true love story.
I might actually have to put FPV in it.
Nice. See, unlike you guys, I don't miss flying helis yet. I mean, I.
Really? But you got that heli last year. Have you even flown it?
Like once or twice.
Yeah, because I know you said you wanted to get back into heli.
I know. I was going to, and back then, and I don't know. I just tried to, and I just couldn't do it. I can't get away from flying the FPV.
But dude, your flying has got. So I don't mean to like brag on you, but dude, your flying has changed and gotten so much better over the last few months.
Yeah, it's been a lot of sim time, and you know, just changing a lot of things and. Learning different things, and it's been a definite progression.
Yeah, I don't know how heli flyers that aren't sponsored like actually stay kind of in like stay going, because I know that FPV for me, like it's cheap,
right?
And things don't break as easy.
That's the main reason why I got into flying FPV, was because, you know, crashing a heli would cost $200-$400 to repair, especially if you're flying the $700 or the 700 class helis. So, it's ridiculously expensive compared to the quads. You know, if I go out and I crash my quad, go pick it up. Sometimes it's a prop. That's like what, $1.50 for a set of four for props.
Yeah.
You know, pick it up, blow out the dirt, and I'm back up and flying. Change props if I need to. That's the nice thing about the quads. With helis, no way. You even touch the ground, you're going to explode the whole thing.
Yeah, it's too much for me, man. I could never get into the helis. I realized how expensive it was when I bought my first coaxial. It was a Horizon Hobby or a Blade product. It was the MCPX, I think it was, or I can't remember. It's been so long ago, but I hit the counter and I tore these little plastic pieces off, and like, you know, I think it had like ball joints. They almost look like bones, and they would connect to the ball joint on one top on the top and connect to the ball joint on the bottom and help with the pitch, control the pitch of the blade. Right. And I'm like, first of all, I can't even see it. And it costs $15 to replace on a micro size heli. And I'm just like, this is dumb. No more.
All right. Now, what about, have you guys done, because I just got a message actually from Josh about wings. Any of you guys do FPV with your wings or fly wings, period?
I do.
Yeah. I have. That's what actually got me into FPV, because I actually got into FPV before the quads became really popular and easily available. So I was had a foam wing, and I was doing FPV with that. But it was set up for long range. It was a 6-foot wing carrying, you know, 10,000 milliamps of battery, and we could get out about 8-9 miles with it with Dragon Link.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's kind of where I got into it too. I have a little 800 millimeter wing, and then I just sold it. I don't know if you guys remember John O'Neill, the guy that used to hang out with me all the time. We were flying buddies. But I actually sold it to him just because I didn't need it, but it was a 2-meter, the Optera, fully gutted and, you know, up to 4S and long range stuff on. It was ridiculous, but
it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was taller than me, and I'm 6'4", so.
Well, I've never flown a wing yet. I've got that one wing, and actually, Mike, I still have yours too, that black one.
Yeah, you might as well build that up for some FPV. That's a better wing anyways.
Yeah, well, I've got the one. Mine's done. I just got to finish putting the electronics on it. I've just never gotten around to it.
Yeah.
Like I said, most of my planes are in some state of repair or build anymore, so.
That's why I fly the quads.
Exactly. It's just with FPVs, man. It's just you keep building. I get one built, I'm going to build another one. I get one built, I want to buy another one. And just keep putting these things together and then trash them.
Yep. So I didn't even see where Josh actually asked that.
Oh, he sent me a personal.
Oh, I was like, you're getting comments that I don't see.
Yeah, no, he was just sending me an indirect comment. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, like, what we can do is also we'll put up a poll in the group, and we'll see what everybody else's opinion is on how FPV has changed the hobby, and kind of get a feedback from them, seeing as we're rocking like a whole 3 viewers at the moment.
Right.
So, but hey, no problem. No problem, Josh. Not a big deal. I just thought I was missing something because I'm technically, like, I just, technically speaking, I'm an idiot. So.
He's technically illiterate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm right about there with you.
That, I'm tired because I've been up since 2 this morning. Literally just got back from Seattle, like flew in and ate dinner and then hopped on the podcast, so I'm a little out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You better take a nap.
No. I'm going to play Fortnite, but that's another story.
Hey, if I can stay up, I might join you guys if you're going to play.
You know it.
Yeah, we know how that goes, CJ.
Yeah, well, see, if my son's still up, I'll put him on, because he's a lot better at it than I am. I suck at Fortnite. Yeah. I suck at all those games. But I keep trying.
you can tell we're having trouble staying on topic tonight as well.
But, it's interesting, though. That's why I brought this idea up to Mike last week and for this topic, is just to see what FPV has done to the hobby. And I think it's actually been a good thing for this hobby. It's grown tremendously.
We had gone back and forth on the topic for a while before, you know, we got to where we were.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, it's by no means did I want to even make it seem like FPV is destroying the hobby or taking away from it. I think it's actually has bolstered and made our hobby a lot better in many ways.
And I think there for a while, I thought it was kind of dragging some unneeded attention towards us. But again, I think I've even switched my viewpoint on it, because now I think it's dragging or drawing a lot of attention towards the hobby. Whether it's positive or negative, at least it's bringing up things that need to be corrected, and it's kind of showing us a way to evolve, no matter what it is, helis, airplanes, FPV quads, whatever. Like, I don't even care if you do, like, one thing we've never talked about is submarines, you know, underwater rovers and stuff, because I know Get FPV has one of those for sale, or a couple of them now on their website. But like, whatever it is, we gotta, you know, figure out how to make it all right and legal and things like that. So
yeah,
I've really changed my mind on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Josh just posted, Wade, you should be able to see this message. Josh posted that a buddy of his, who's actually an airline pilot, You corrupted him with FPV.
Corrupted, I like that word. That's awesome.
He used to fly planes only, but he corrupted him. Well, Mike, hey, I can say Mike did the same thing to me, because when he came to visit up in Indiana, he brought along a little, what was it, ZMR frame, wasn't it?
I had the, no, back then I had the, I don't remember what that was.
Yeah, well, no, I think the frame you brought me, though, was like a ZMR clone.
That's what I gave you, yes.
Yeah, and that really got me going there from that right. point.
I remember that trip. Yeah, I brought you that ZMR 250 for you to build, and...
Uh-huh, you ended up building most of it.
we drank a lot of moonshine.
Yes, we did. It was some good stuff. Yep. And that was some homemade moonshine.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it wasn't. But
yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Yes, it was. That was a good week.
I didn't realize that was your first quad. I completely forgot about that.
Well, it wasn't technically my first. It was my first.
Right, you had
E quad.
Had the little two, the little ones.
Yeah, I still have my MQX, the very first one that Horizon put out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that Hubson that. The first FPV hubs, and it had the monitor built into the radio.
Right. Yeah, I remember flying that around that night.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I do too.
So, meanwhile, I'm in Korea.
Right.
Yeah, you're in Korea, and you're there, and you're there. You're like everywhere but here. They kept you busy, man.
Yeah, they did. But now I'm retired, and I'm lazy, and I don't do anything, so.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
What do I got to do to be able to get that job?
I'm telling you, just quit.
Just quit?
Just tell them you're retired. You're retired.
I'm going to call in on Tuesday and be like, I quit. I'm retired.
Yeah.
Then I can be like Wade.
Yay.
go live with Wade.
Oh, jeez.
Cool. Well.
All right. So... Mike, I know you wanted to do a quick review on your goggles.
Yeah, we can talk about that real quick. I'll make it short, and then we'll wrap this up. So, the goggles that I got was the FXT Vipers. So if you wear glasses and, you know, can't... You know, a lot of people can get the dioptrics or whatever for Fat Shark goggles. But
all right.
So if you wear glasses to where you can't, like your prescription's too strong like mine, and you need to wear box goggles, these are probably the best ones that I've used. They're not as comfortable as my head plays as wearing them, but the screen and the viewing for them is amazing, and same with the diversity. I haven't had any video breakup like I normally get from my other goggles. The image has been stable and solid so far, and I'm completely loving it. The cool thing about them, what really drew my attention to them, was that it's got a detachable monitor, but the monitor is on a periscope design, so it's got two mirrors inside the goggles that shoot the image up to the monitor. It's kind of on an angle, you know, like a 45-degree angle sitting there. They look really different on your head, but
periscope... Yeah, it's like a strange kind of contraption, but...
Yeah, but it's so much nicer because my head plays, your screen is literally in your face. So you get a lot of eye strain and you get a lot of eye movement wearing those box goggles. With these ones, it's got a virtual distance of 330 millimeters. So it's your viewing area is 330 millimeters out instead of like 10 millimeters in front of your face. So
you mean like Fat Sharks?
Yeah, exactly like Fat Sharks. So that's why I like them. I was able to focus on one image, and that periscope design is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to see how they work.
So do they come with a case?
Yes, they do, actually. They come with a little zipper case, and it's a hard case. It's got a little pouch for your batteries and your antennas and everything. And then it's got water jetted foam inside of it for the main goggle to seat in. And it's got a little handle. Okay. It's nice too. And they're a little bit smaller than my head plays. They're not as big. The case is a little bit smaller than the overall head play as well. So it's nice to just take that and carry that around instead of having my goggles like I'm in a bag or something.
So how do you like diversity versus having just a singular receiver antenna.
Oh, it's so much better. I mean, the day and night difference, because before I would get a lot of breakups flying through trees or around trees and behind me and stuff, but now I haven't remember seeing a single breakup yet of the video. Not any fuzz or anything. It's just been solid everywhere I've flown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's got a much stronger signal, too.
All right, so have you used the DVR, the built-in DVR?
Yeah, I've used it. Okay. It's easy. It's just a one-button push. You do have to push it again to stop it, though.
Stop it.
Yeah, otherwise you'll lose it. But yeah, I've used that. I'll have to see if I still have the videos on that SD card, because it's not a very big SD card in there, and post them so you can see what the DVR footage looks like.
Yeah, that'd be nice, because I know I had the Eachine, the EV800Ds, and they were okay. I call them the EV800 decent, because they were just average. There wasn't anything spectacular about them. But.
Yeah, and if you check out any other reviews on these goggles, everybody likes them the best for box goggles. Out of all the box goggles out there, I think that they're the best, and I've tried a lot.
I like my current goggles. They're the Cyclops Diversity. They're not bad, but I've got some issues with them as well. The DVR on it sucks.
Really?
And it does, when it skips from antenna to antenna, you sometimes do get a quick static or change the screen, and it's annoying as hell.
Yeah, see, but, I don't get none of that. The swap is not noticeable at all.
That's nice.
The nice thing, too, is that with that LCD monitor, it's got a lot more colors and pixels, so it looks like it's a sharper image, too, than previous head plays.
Well, yeah, because it's 800 by 480, and then the aspect ratio is switchable 16:9 or 4:3.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of cool
Yeah, and I've been running on 16:9. I like that a lot. Give me that wider field of view.
And you can even use it to watch movies on the airplane.
Right? Yeah, it's got HDMI out and everything.
Oh,
yeah, that's
sweet.
Cool.
And, oh, nice. The nice thing, too, is that it auto-scans frequencies, so you don't have to find the channel or nothing. I plugged in my quad, turned on the goggles, it went right to my channel. I didn't have to change it or anything.
Damn.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so there's no changing. And if somebody else flies, it's just, and you still have them on, there's just one button that you push, and it'll start scanning again.
Huh.
Yeah, they're really nice. And for the price point, you can't beat it.
Yeah, I may have to change my birthday gift idea.
$159.
Yeah.
So I posted a link. No, I'm not endorsed by Get FPV. No, we're not endorsed by Get FPV. I just really like shopping there because I never have an issue.
Same. Yes.
And they usually FPV. Have everything in stock.
At Get FPV.
Yeah, and then Get FPV. You could also check out like Race Day Quads, just all the kind of main guys. But don't forget your little guys as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, like Josh with Activate FPV, and
yeah,
and also support local too if you can.
Yeah, support your local hobby shops. Grayson Hobby here in the Atlanta area is a great place for your multi-rotor FPV quad stuff and planes.
Yeah, and they have a lot of cool, especially, I noticed what Grayson Hobby has that a lot of your mainstream hobby stores like Get FPV and Ready Made RC, they have a lot of quirky little things that you need sometimes that are just not in stock anywhere else.
Right.
And I like that, you know, I need a 31.6 amp ESC that does, you know, that creates moonbeams. It's like, well,
they'll have it. Basil will have it in stock somewhere there.
Yeah, just on their shelves. So I think that's cool. That's what I like about Grayson.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you guys have questions on Mike's FXT goggles that he got, feel free to text, write it in the group, ask the question right here on the comment section, whatever. We'll answer it to the best of our abilities and, make things happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Do what we can. So I think that's just about it for the week for the show, guys.
Yeah.
Anybody have any final thoughts?
Nope. I'd like to say thanks to everybody that kind of listens in, and especially like our old time guys. I don't know if you listened before, Josh, but I know we got a lot of guys that listened from before, and I think it's so cool that we could take a 4-year hiatus and get back on the saddle and have those guys following us again. So
yeah, that's true. It's a good point. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree completely.
So here's what I want to say for next week. I want to see our live count a lot higher. If we can reach, I know it's a really high goal, but if we can reach it, I'm going to go even higher. If we can reach 25 viewers, and I'm not talking total, 25 viewers at one time. And if you come in and you view and you actually comment on it and let us know you're here with a comment on the live stream, then I'll do a random giveaway. And it will be RC related. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to get everybody's hopes up, but basically I'm just asking you to give something and then I'll give something. And everything that I'm going to donate will be brand new.
Right. And that brings me up to my topic too. I hadn't shared this with you because you've been gone for so long, but I talked to TJ about it. And I'm going to put together a freestyle contest for us, and all three of us will judge that freestyle contest, and we'll give away something to the effects of like a Schizonova frame.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
So, something to think about in the future and look for. Just more giveaways and that kind of stuff to encourage everybody to view and come here, Wade and TJ and what we got to say.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Well, then that's a wrap, guys. Thanks for listening to RC Hangar Time, and we hope you catch us again in 2 weeks. The podcast should be posted probably tomorrow. If you missed the live show, you'll still be able to listen to it. And if you ever have questions, please visit our page or go to the RC Hangar Time group. You can go to the RC Hangar Time page as well. Leave a question, comments. Follow us on Instagram, RC_Hangar Time. You can find us on there as well. And I can't believe the number of followers we already have on that. So that's awesome. Want to see this group keep growing. Hopefully next time we can get to Wade's goal of 25.
Yeah.
That would be extremely awesome. And we're going to keep working on it. Eventually we will also have live video, maybe, sometime.
So, maybe one day.
we'll leave Wade's screen blank. We'll just put a picture of the Cookie Monster or something there in his face.
Right.
But
yeah, you don't want that. I'll break everybody's computer.
You with that neck beard.
Hey, man. I'm going through puberty.
All right, guys.
All right, man.
All right. Later.